Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Friday Fusion. You're with me, Zakira and Sirmia. Alhamdulillah, every Friday we are encouraged by the ulama, we are encouraged by our elders to recite an abundance of durood and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And really, alhamdulillah, many of us do. We try our best to do so. But when I read this today, you know, and my dear friend Apa Adla Kirsani shares this with me from time to time, and you know, she shares such lovely little quotes with me that they're so reflective and something which you really have to sit down and ponder and think about. So here's what she shared with me this morning, and I felt I needed to share it with you, the listeners. It is mentioned, قِلَ أَنَّ أَعْرَابِيًا قَالَ لِسَيِّدْنَا عَلِيَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, that an Arabi, a Bedouin of the time, said to Ali رضي الله عنه, عَدِدْ لَنَا أَخْلَاقَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So, basically, what he wanted to do was, he wanted Ali رضي الله عنه to kind of give him an account of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, explain to him what type of akhlaq the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. فَقَالَ لَهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, so Ali رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ said to him, هَلْ تَعْرِفَ الْعَدَى, so he said, do you know how to count? So he said, Naam, yes. Adali mata'a dunya. He said, well then count for me the many enjoyments that you have been given in this dunya. فَقَالَ الْعَرَبِي, so the Arabi said, مَتَعُ الدُّنْيَا لَا تَعُدُّ, that, you know, the enjoyments that we have been given, the many ni'amat and the bounties that we have been given in this dunya are so many that it's impossible to count them. فَقَالَ سَيِّدْنَا عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, and subhanallah, may my parents be sacrificed for, you know, each and every or any one of the sahaba radiallahu anhu, their wisdom and, you know, the way they brought about these explanations to us are so full of wisdom that if we just had to listen to one little saying of theirs, after all, it was the same giant Ali radiallahu anhu said about Surah Al-Asr that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal any other surah of the Quran, that in itself would have been enough. So let's listen to what he had to say. He said, لَقَدْ عَجَزْتَ عَنْ عَدَّ الْقَلِيلِ, you are incapable of giving me an account of something that is qalil. And the reason I say that, oh, now he's explaining and he says that the reason he is calling the dunya qalil, something that is little, or the mata'u dunya, the enjoyments of the dunya, something that is qalil, is because wallahu yaqul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ, say to them that the enjoyment of the dunya is for a short period of time. It's just a little bit, right? وَطَلَبْتُ مِنِّي عَدَّ الْعَظِيمِ, and you are asking me to enumerate to you, to give you an account of something that is azim, that is so vast. والله تعالى يقول, and the reason he was saying that the character of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was so vast was because he says, and the character of صلى الله عليه وسلم was so عظيم. عظيم could mean many things, right? One of the other meanings of the word عظيم would be like, you know, it's so majestic, it's so great, it's so it's so much for me to tell you in one little sitting or in a few little words, right? So he said, you want me to enumerate this? وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, and indeed you are on such a type of character, or your character has been molded such that it is عظيم, that it is great, it is magnanimous, it is, there is so many dimensions to your character, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is for this reason, and when we ponder on things like this, that we realize why all the more we need to send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa an'im ala Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala sahibil khulqil azim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So yes, that was something that was shared with me, and I thought I really wanted to share it because often it comes to a Jumu'ah, and you know, we all make this intention and we all make effort towards this intention that we want to recite as much durood as possible on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But sometimes I think it is necessary for us to take a moment out and to actually ponder and reflect on what a great Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually given us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the best of all creation as our Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to be from His Ummah. Can we but imagine what kind of salutations and what kind of thanks we are supposed to be, you know, in thanks to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what kind of salutations we are supposed to be sending to him. This was the very Nabi, my dear listeners, who when he went to Ta'if, and he went there with only one purpose, and that was to speak about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya'la'i kalimatillah. When he went there, what was it that he was, how was he received? He was received by the people stoning him to such an extent that the blood clogged in his shoes, to such an extent that when he took shade in this garden, you know, even the servant that was sent to him with a plate of dates, he was, even though the Prophet ﷺ was in such a state, he was even bowled over by the Prophet ﷺ. After speaking a few words to the Prophet ﷺ, he was even taken aback. So this was our Nabi who gave up and sacrificed so much for us. There's just so much for us to be thankful to our Nabi ﷺ for. Where do we start? I think it is best, or I think it is only, you know, it is only right and it's only correct for us that on the day of Jumu'ah we take out that extra time and we send the special durood and salawat on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's now time for a ad break, and when we return from the second ad break of the hour, inshallah, I'm hoping that we will have our guest online, and without any further ado then, we'll take up that discussion that we left off last week. Unfortunately, we only could have a 10-minute discussion, but it's a subject that is so vast that we needed to have a much longer discussion on it, so I'm hoping that this week we could do justice to that. Listening to me, Zakira and Sarmia. Alhamdulillah, it's been quite an interesting program thus far. Before the ad break, we spoke about the virtues of durood and why we should send durood and salam on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, more so on a Jumu'ah, but on a daily basis. As we spoke and we said, there were many, you know, difficulties that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through just for our sake, just so that we could be gifted with this blessing of Iman. So we really should make time every day to send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but more so on the day of Jumu'ah. Then alhamdulillah, in the beginning of the program, I told you that the whole hype about today's program that we've been trying to create was because today we have Ummi Husna back online with us. For those of you who listened to the program last week, I do thank you. But as you would note that we had a few gremlins in the line, and alhamdulillah, the program didn't go off too well. And so therefore we only had like a 10-minute segment of a very important discussion that we were due to have. So alhamdulillah, Ummi Husna very graciously said that she would join us once again on the program this week. And so we're willing to I'm not going to say we're willing to have the discussion again, but rather we're willing to pick up where we left off, inshallah. So let's first welcome our guest on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay. Abba, it's great having you on the program once again. And as you would note, last week, you know, we only had like about 10 minutes. And then unfortunately, you know, we had to terminate the program. So this week I felt that let's give this discussion a lot more time, because I'll tell you what happened in the week, Abba. After the program, well, not immediately after the program on Friday, but in subsequent days during the week last week, or this week rather, on two occasions, two different women called me and let me know that their husbands wanted to take second wives. And the process by which they went about doing it was not something that they were very happy with, and hence something that was supposed to be an act of sunnah and something that was supposed to bring about a lot of barakah in the home turned out to be something horrible and nasty, and turned the husband vindictive, and in another instance turned the husband to become physically abusive even. Now, Appa, give us a little bit insight on why exactly you and your group have decided to start a group of this nature.
Jazakallah, Appa. The reason why we started this polygamy awareness program is because we realized that unfortunately, due to polygamy being a taboo subject, not many people talk about it. And when a subject is not spoken about, the education regarding that subject is also limited. And polygamy is a feared subject, and with the result, it opens the doors to many, many misconceptions regarding polygamy. And we wanted to bring this awareness to the people, to bring it out, and also to eliminate the scratch of the secret nikahs that breaks families and marriages, etc. Our objective is not to enforce polygamy on anyone, but just to create a better understanding, inshallah.
Absolutely. And like we mentioned in last week's program, the reason we are having these programs is not because, we are saying that anyone is in such a situation and therefore we need to have a program of this nature to show people that, you know what, when you are in a situation, this is what you should do or whatever. No, it's actually because of what Appa has mentioned. It's because it's easy sunnah. It is something that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu practiced, something that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced, but it is a sunnah that because we don't know much about, we shy away from. Or to an extent, some women are even telling me, Appa, we know that it is sunnah, but right now, the way we are seeing it being imposed on us, we don't see how we could accept this in our lives. So it's becoming very difficult. Now I want to share with you an incident that one of the sisters shared with me. And Appa, because you do these programs on a weekly basis, I'm going to narrate the incident to you, and perhaps you can tell me what advice you would have given a sister in this situation. She says her husband brought up the topic of, having a second wife. And she immediately, like any other woman would be, she immediately thought this wasn't a very good idea. So because she thought this wasn't a very good idea, automatically she cringed at the aspect of it. And she said, why do you want a second wife? Am I not enough? Am I not doing enough for you? And all the rest of it. And, because I think she came on with this defensive attitude, he also went on the defensive. And then he said some nasty things to her, and like this, a few nasty words were passed between them. And after all this happened, she says she then thought that the discussion was over, because he didn't mention it again and she didn't bring it up either. But she says what happened subsequently is that he's become more and more vindictive of her. He's become, he started victimizing her. He started belittling her in front of people and picking on her family members and all the rest of it. So he's become bitter about this whole thing because she doesn't want him to take a second wife. Now, Appa, in a situation like this, what would your advice be to the sister?
To the sister, I would say that firstly, we need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man in such a way that he is polygamous by nature. Not in order to hurt us. Like, polygamy is not something that is against women or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed to hurt women. When a man takes another woman, another wife, it is not because there is something wrong with his first wife, or that he does not love her anymore. We have to understand that. If that was the case, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married many, many wives after Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha, and she was his most beloved wife. And there were many wives, Sophia Rano Anha, Juwayra Rano Anha, were extremely, extremely beautiful. But the Sahaba Rano Anha Ajmaeen, they knew, everyone knew that Hazrat Aisha Rano Anha was Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's most beloved wife. So we must move away from the concept that my husband got married to another woman because there is something wrong with me. And I think what created this idea is the fact we feel that he has to, we need a valid reason. When a man comes and he tells his wife, I would like to get married again, we ask for valid reasons. We tell him, tell me why. Why do you want to? Why do you want to? We don't realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this need in him. And this need which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in him, in the long run, is beneficial for women. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that towards the end of time, women will outnumber men. And we know that if men did not have this need or this desire in them to have more than one wife, imagine if one man only wanted one wife and not want anything else, no other wives after that. Imagine then what would have happened when the women outnumber men, which we are currently in. So this gift of the lijani is actually more for the woman, because the man, he has to make sure that he is absolutely just between his wives, and that is compulsory upon him, the justice. So he's going to be answerable for it.
I'm going to ask you just to hold that thought for a minute, because I'm realizing that, you know what, we didn't encourage the listeners to call in. This is an absolutely interactive program, listeners. And if you'd like to call in at any point, feel free to do that. The number is 011-854-1548. Brother Tahir, the engineer, is standing by to take your call. So at any point, if you have any interaction, please feel free to call in. Then you also have an SMS line, and that is 061-406-2688. 061-406-2688. You could send a SMS or you could send a WhatsApp message, whichever you prefer. But this is an interactive program. I know there's many a sister out there that has burning questions at the back of her mind. So please, feel free to interact with us on the program. The reason we have brought this topic up is because we want your interaction. So please do interact with us on the program. Appa, you know, at one point there, actually I'm just sitting here with a book and a pen because I'm thinking about what you're saying and I'm making little notes as you're speaking. So one of the things that perhaps does come up, as women is that by nature we are very jealous. So what happens is we have this jealousy within us and we feel, he's my husband. I want him all for myself. I can't think about somebody else, of me sharing him with somebody else, right? So we must remember that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were mortal, like us. They were humans. So they also had this feeling. Remember what happened during the time when Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anha got together, and we know that there was a very close relationship between these two wives, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Safiya radiallahu anha had just got married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she was brought as a new bride, and one of the Ansari Sahaba gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a place for her to stay. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I disguised myself and I went to see who the Safiya was, because we were just hearing about the fact that she came from a Jewish background, about her being so beautiful. So because we were hearing all these things, I also wanted to see. So I disguised myself because I didn't want anyone to see that that was me going. So I disguised myself and I went to see her. Subhanallah, what does this tell you? That the Sahaba radiallahu anhum felt the same way like we do. But there was so much more maturity about the way they dealt with things. That was one thing. The other thing is that, as Appa very rightly pointed out, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they knew the way, you know, that they had to carry themselves. Now, when I say the Sahaba, I mean the men of Sahaba. When they married more than one wife, they were absolutely just with their wives. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he would never hurt any of his wives' feelings. This is why each one of them felt so special. Even when we read in the biographies of the different wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, firstly, when we read about, when we read in their biographies itself, we will see how many manaqib each and every one of the wives had, and this is because they really were women of taqwa and piety. That's number one. But number two is, when we read in their lives how they spoke about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll see each one of them would tell you how there was a certain thing that was so special to her about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that she liked a certain thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do it that way or be with her. In the instance of Aisha radiallahu anha, she had got a haiz. When they had come to a certain point, some say that it was just on the outskirts of Makkatul Mukarrama, she had experienced a haiz, and they were going for Umrah. And she felt really sad, and because of this the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he comforted her, and he said that, you know what, oh Aisha, this is something that happens to all the daughters of Adam, and don't feel bad, because you can still do this, that and the other. And he told her what she could do. But my point that I'm making is that despite the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam having more than one wife, he was a man of such noble character. And just before the ad break we spoke about that, right? That the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam demanded of him that he treated each and every one of them as though they were his only wife. Now, Abba, getting back to you there, you were speaking about the nature of men and, how they are polygynous by nature, and therefore this polygyny is allowed in Islam. But, Abba, you must admit that because we live in such a monogamous society, isn't it true that when someone in the family does get married a second time, that automatically the whispers start happening? Their whisperings, and people start saying, oh, were they having problems in their marriage? Why was it? Why did he go and take a second wife? They don't look at it the way you are explaining it, Appa. Am I right?
Yeah, Pastor, that is due to a lack of understanding and, education of polygyny, unfortunately.
Absolutely. And, Appa, there was another thing that actually just crossed my mind, was that when we were speaking, you said that, how women are outnumbering the men and all the rest of it. You have given your group a certain name. Tell us about this thought behind it.
See, we named the group for the sake of our daughter, because we feel that due to the sign of Qiyamah, that our daughters will definitely be tested with polygyny in time to come, inshallah. We know that by now already, that women are outnumbering men. We don't have to look at, we don't have to Google, we don't have to search anyway. We can look in our own families. We will find that there's much more aunties, grandmothers, sisters, aunties than there is men in the family. In fact, in my family, there's 36 members, of which only 25, 28 are female, and the rest are males. So in my family, the sign of Kiyama is prevalent. So we don't have to go far. So the wizard himself gave the name for the sake of our daughters, to prepare our daughters for this, so that it is easier for them to accept than it is for us, since we grow up in a monogamous society, which makes it very difficult.
Absolutely. But just on another note now, so I was telling you these stories, and I know that Sister Amatullah Abdullah also sent me quite a few stories, alhamdulillah, and in those stories there were various different narrations of how so many husbands went about taking second wives, and how the wives responded, etc. And really, I would love to go through each and every one of those stories, but unfortunately in the week, as much as I asked you for those stories and I said we'd go through them in the week, I had my own stories that were narrated to me. So I thought that, since I had to deal with these firsthand, let me speak to you about these ones and let me get your firsthand advice on it, and you could tell me what could be done. Now, Appa, The second story that I had was the sister phoned me very similarly. She said, husband said he's taking a second wife. She said, just give me some time. I need to think about it. I'm not saying no. I'm just saying give me some time and I'll think about it. But he, unfortunately, is under the impression that she's stalling and she doesn't want him to take a second wife. So now, she says, he's become so, he's become so volatile in his temper that little things just tick him off. And he's angry all the time. And she says, just the other day when they ended up in a bit of an argument, well, I wouldn't call it a bit of an argument if I tell you what happened afterwards, she says he actually, came up to her and choked her and, you know, so she didn't feel very nice because now she felt all this is happening, and the reason that it's happening, it's only because she doesn't want her husband to take another wife. And she's thinking to herself that all the things that she did for him in the past, do all those things just go to waste? So, Appa, are the men being educated as well? As much as we are creating an awareness for the sisters, and, from the feedback that I receive on this program, I'm always assuming that our listeners are more sisters than brothers. So, my question to you, Appa, is that, is there a similar educational process for the men as well?
Appa, at first, these programs were only for ladies. But alhamdulillah, since Mana Yahya Pan Sahib has become our Amir, it's open to men as well. And the duration of the program is 3 hours. The first 2 hours, we conduct our usual programs for females only, where we discuss different issues. And the last hour is conducted by an Alim, who addresses both the men and the ladies in their strict parsha in between. And thereafter, there's a Q&A session, where the ladies will send their questions via WhatsApp or page, and the men will ask the questions directly to Mawana, and the questions are answered in that way. And men need to understand that this is not easy for a woman, that she is reacting this way because she loves him, not because she wants to deny something from him, but because she is afraid of losing him, or afraid of losing that connection that she has with him and sharing it now with another woman. Men have to understand. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the perfect example for us. When he proposed to Hazrat Salma, Salama radhiyallahu anha, she told him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I've got a problem. Something to the effect that one of the problems that she mentioned, she had 3 problems. The one, she said that she was aged, she was old, and the second was that she had children, and the third was she said that she's a very jealous person, and she is afraid that because of her jealousy, she would say something that would anger Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made dua for her that Allah Ta'ala remove this jealousy and never make her feel this jealousy in during their marriage. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that to all of this, so much so that Umm Salama radhiyallahu anha said something to the effect that during her marriage with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she never once felt that she shared him with any other woman. So men have to look at this here and make this to all of their wives. They must not become angry and vindictive and violent. They should make dua, get up with the hajjud, and make dua and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easier upon their wives, because they love their wives as well. And now is the time to treat her even better than ever before, because she is already feeling that he does not love her anymore. So he has to reassure her of that love all the time, just as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reassured Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha all the time of their love. She was also insecure. It's natural for us to feel that way. So men need to learn that. And if they attend the programs, because unfortunately we have our programs, the male attendance is very low. Everybody actually used to think that now that men can come, there would be a whole lot of men because they want to speak about polygamy. But unfortunately, the wives are also keeping them away from the programs, thinking that we are going to instigate them to get married again, to look for subsequent wives. But that's not our purpose. Our purpose is just to educate. See, and so that they, when they then decide to do it, so they do it in the correct manner, because now they are educated regarding it. So they should really try to come with, because very prominent ulama who speak at the programs like Mulana Oza, Mulana Yahya Bamsav himself spoke. We had Mulana Dawood Sirat, we had Mufti Siraj Desai, prominent ulama that they speak at the program, so they shouldn't be afraid to come. They must come, inshallah. And the women shouldn't be afraid to send their husbands also, because they're not going to be encouraged. They're just going to be educated, inshallah.
It's Friday Fusion, and you're with me, Zakira and Sarmia. Yes, we are almost at the end of today's program, and inshallah, in a few minutes, we'll wrap up. I was going to share a few Umrah Masail with you, but inshallah, what we'll do is we'll share all of those next week. I do understand that it's Umrah season coming up, and many of you may be, planning to go for Umrah in the December period, etc. And there's so many questions that are coming in right now via the Umrah, and I'd really like to have a whole session where we discuss this. So, the discussion that Umm Hasna and I were having was so beautiful, and I think so beneficial. While doing the program, there were so many questions coming in from listeners. Where can they get a podcast and all the rest of it? So if you do want a podcast of the program, you could go to Radio Islam's website, and Sister Rukeya normally podcasts the program about an hour after the program is over. So you could go to Radio Islam's website, go into the podcast section, look for my name, Zakira and Sarmia, which should be right at the bottom of the list because it's in alphabetical order. And you could just then look for today's date and you will find the program there, and inshallah it's podcasted for your listening pleasure, and you could listen to it as you like, inshallah, when you like, just download it and listen to it, inshallah. All right, so that's about the program. Umm Hasna, you still online with us?
Yeah, come.
Okay. We'll have to leave our discussion there, unfortunately. I know it's been a really nice discussion, and we were really enjoying it, alhamdulillah. But time is out, and unfortunately, that's where we'll have to leave it. But I'm not going to leave you without you promising us, inshallah, that you will definitely join us on another program. And inshallah, when you do join us on another program, we're going to pick up on the discussion once again, as I think there's so much for us to discuss. And because of the enormity of the response, Umm Hasna, I'm asking you that you please join us again. Perhaps we take it from a different angle. Perhaps the next time we discuss this, we take it from the second wife's perspective. So now she's married into the home. We're not looking at the first wife's perspective now, but now from the second wife's perspective, how does she fit in? How does it all go down now with her? How does she make herself comfortable in this home, knowing that there are all these whispers in society, in the community? Sometimes it goes to the extent of people saying she stole somebody else's husband and all these type of things. So inshallah, I think it's very important that we look at that angle as well. So perhaps we'll keep the listeners posted, perhaps not next week, but in weeks to come, inshallah, you'll join us once again.
Inshallah. Jazakallah for the opportunity, Appa.
No problem. Barakallah feek. It was an absolutely awesome program, alhamdulillah. And we must thank our engineer for doing a good job of keeping us on air all this time. And inshallah, until we meet next week, same time, same place, we request your special du'as. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.